Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. Father, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done for me personally, that you've done for our congregation, Father, for people in our congregation. We know that you have stretched out your hand 2,000 years ago, Father, and you laid all of our sins and sickness and any kind of depression or oppression or any kind of poverty, Father. We thank you that every single curse of the law was laid upon Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that that curse now is broken. We thank you that we live victoriously. We thank you that there is no need to live in that old lifestyle anymore. We thank you for that deliverance, and we just bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, in the book of Colossians, we're going to start chapter 1, verse 9. And I'm going to read from 9 through verse 17. The title of tonight's message, in case anybody wants to write it down for some reason, is A Life of Thanksgiving. And I really feel that that is one thing that especially in America, we tend to not have that because we get used to luxury, we get used to having the best that's available. We get used to it being just one of those things that we take for granted that, you know, that every day that we get up, we got shoes to put on our feet, you know, we got clothes to put on. And we seem to forget those things, that there are a lot of people in the world that don't have that kind of luxury. But the most wonderful thing is that, you know, in the Word of God, it says that God gives grace to the humble. And to those people that are humble, those people that have been humbled by their circumstances, in these third world countries where you see missionaries go and you see miraculous things take place, it is because of not only are they there and they desire it, but they are humble people and they are thankful for everything that God has done for them. You know, they look at it, they look and they are hungry to see something else take place in the kingdom of God. They're hungry to see a man or a woman or a missionary, whatever the case might be, they are just eager and they're eagerly awaiting somebody to come and feed them with the Word of God. You know, it is just that heart, that desire, that thankfulness that they have in their hearts, that they are just yearning and that they're just longing to have those things met, and that they are thankful for every word that is spoken to them. They're thankful for everything that God has done, and that's why we're going to talk about that here tonight, because I really think that, myself included, I know there are times when I take things for granted, and I want to start doing something new with my life. I want to start being more and more in the image and shape of Christ, you know? I want to live that life, and I don't want to live the old way anymore. And starting in verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You know, your knowledge of Scripture helps you to develop that relationship with God, helps you to develop that image of Christ that you need to live. That we need to, and I don't say that you need to live, I don't say that in a manner that puts everything upon you to try to do it in your own power, because we know that we live by the grace of God, we don't live by our own power and our own will. And in verse 11 it says, "Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." You know, what a beautiful thing that is right there in verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That says nothing about you qualifying yourself to be a partaker in the inheritance of God. You know, it says nothing about that. But thank God that it is by Jesus and by Jesus alone that we are able to be partakers in that inheritance. It says, the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Also, keep in mind that that is past tense. Okay? God already qualified you for everything that you need. He already qualified you for everything in the kingdom of God, salvation, everything. He has delivered us. Once again, another past tense. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. See, these scriptures alone should change our perspective of the fact that none of the things that we have on our bodies, none of the things that are here in this world are ours. We are just stewards of what God has enabled us to have, you know? And that, you know, it's so powerful to think about the fact that, you know, when you look back at Abraham, Abraham knew exactly who his source was. And that was one of the things I'd been listening to earlier this week was, or actually probably last week, about financial, you know, stewardship and the fact that God had blessed Abraham and told Abraham that he would be blessed. That when it came time, you know, when he had conquered people, even all the loot that was sitting there, that normally, when somebody was conquered, normally all that loot would be passed on to that person. But he rejected it. He said he didn't want it because he didn't want anybody to think that anybody else made him wealthy. He wanted everybody to know, God is my source. God is my source of blessing. No other man is. Because if somebody else would have been like, well, the only reason why he's rich is because he went out and conquered. No, the reason why he was rich and fully blessed was because God had told him that he would be a blessing, that he would be blessed in all this land. You know, so Abraham himself knew exactly who God was. He knew who his source was, and he knew that the things that he had, no matter what he put his hand to, would be blessed. And that's what's so beautiful about it is the fact that not only did God qualify him, decide that he was qualified, and in Christ, we, you and I, have the redemption. We have the redemption through Christ's blood and the forgiveness of sins, and that itself should be enough to make us thankful on a day-to-day basis, you know? And the thing is that sometimes it's kind of like the whole in love process, you know, when you find somebody that you really like and that you fall in love with. It's very easy early on to just be so wrapped up in the emotional high, in the emotional state, that you forget that the choice that love itself is a choice that you make to God. It's a choice that you have to love God. You know, you can choose to love Him or you can choose to not love Him. And the sad part about it is that sometimes even Christians, when they get so used to hearing, I've been saved, I've been delivered, or anything like that, they get so used to it that sometimes it loses its significance. It loses its meaning to them, to the point that they're not even thankful for it on a day-to-day basis. They might go, well, I am thankful for my relationship with God. Do you thank Him? You know, do we thank Him for different things? And that's what He's talking about. He's saying, you know, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us, and we are to give thanks to the Father for that. You know, we should be very thankful for what we have. And as we go on, I'm going to jump to verse 16 again real quick. One thing that really is just kind of jumping out at me is the fact that it says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. You know, everything that we have comes from God. And you think about it, if you guys ran on any kind of tough times or anything like that, You've probably got loved ones that would help you out, right? Probably got other people, whether it's fellow believers, whether it's your blood relatives, you know, in this physical life, one or the other, somebody would try to take care of you. I know for myself that if I ran on any kind of hard times, I know that my dad would do exactly what, you know, what is in the Bible. He would try to take care of me. He would try to help me out. But he would also put me into doing work, too. I mean, I'm not going to just sit there and mooch off of my dad, but it says, you know, if you ran through those tough times, you ran into them, your earthly father or family would try to take care of you. And that's exactly what we do now, is the fact that when we run into tough times, God has already taken care of us. We just have to rest in that. We have to be thankful in that. And we have to realize those things. You know, and in verse 17 where it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, I know some people might say that this is a very, you know, petty thing or anything, but one of the, when I was listening online to one of the sermons by Joseph Prince, they only give you little blurbs of it, but one of the things was, he goes, when was the last time that you were thankful or you glorified God drinking some water? When was the last time you glorified God drinking water? You know? And it was one of those things, I'm sitting there and I was thinking about it and I'm going, what do you mean? How in the world can I glorify God by drinking water? You know? Recognizing where that water came from. You know? Recognizing where that blessing came from, who it came from, and be thankful for where it came from, you know? Because that's the main thing in all relationships, is people want to know that they're appreciated, you know, for what they've done for you. You know, if your wife does something for you, thank her. You know? If your husband does something for you, thank him. I mean, they like to have that in their life, and that should be a general lifestyle that we live. That should be one of those things where if anybody does something for you, you should thank them, you know? And that's one of those things that also we take so much time when our kids are young, we take a lot of time that every time, you know, we give them something, we're like, say please, say please, say please. But then somehow when we move out on our own, all the please and thank yous and you're welcome seem to go right out the door. You know, we don't say please, we don't say thank you. We're like, we want this. I would like this. Get me that. Get me this. And it's really easy, and I'm sure all of you have had those relationships with people that at the beginning they might have been polite, but after a while they started not being that thankful person, you know, that appreciative person. And you can see how those kind of actions start changing your relationship with that person. And so at the same time, the less and less that we are thankful to God for what he has given us, less and less that we are thankful and that we think of, and the reason why we're thankful is because we think it's something of value. And if something loses its value to where we're not thankful for it, it will become evident in the way we react to it, in the way we engage with it. And so when we neglect the, you know, to say thank you, when we neglect to be thankful for what we've been given in Christ, we start to neglect those truths. And we start to embrace other things that we see, whether it be on TV, on the radio, news, whatever it is. You know, it was one of those things I don't know if it was last night or the night before. I was sitting there and there was this, I think it was either a lawyer or some salesman that came on TV and was saying, do you know about such and such heart disease? It's very new. You know, it's been, you know, just recently was discovered. And he goes, and if you don't know about it, you really do need to know about it. And then they flash over to the doctor, and the doctor was like, well, if you've had, you know, blood pressure problems or this problem, you could be at risk. And so you start thinking about that, you know, and all they're doing is starting to instill fear inside millions and millions of people. Because people start looking at that, and they start going, well, I do have high blood pressure. You know, I think that he's talking to me tonight. You know, I think I'm going to have to go get that checked out. And then we go seeking a doctor's opinion, saying, I think I have this. And then it checks out. Guess what? You probably do. You know? And it's one of those things to where we start embracing the truths of everything else because we've ceased to be thankful for what Christ had given us. And so we start to think about, yeah, I know that God can heal me, but I don't know if it's his will to heal me right now. You know, maybe I do need to go see a doctor. And like I've said before, I am in no way saying that doctors are a bad thing. But at the same time, when on earth should we ever trust a man's opinion over God's opinion? Okay? And it just seems like everything in this world, everybody wants to label something. They want to label whether or not a sickness that you have, a disease you've got, whatever it is, they want to label it. But you know what? All those diseases were never a problem when Jesus came on the scene. You know what I mean? When you look at the Bible, it speaks of tons and tons of miracles to where God just said, get up. You know, he wasn't saying, Lord, I just hope that you heal this person tonight. May it be your will. No, he told them. He said, pick up your mat and walk. Get up. You know, when people came to him, he didn't even have to be there. He was like, oh, your servant, he's already healed. Don't worry about it. You know, your kid, he's already well. Go ahead and go back home. You know, it's the fact that, and that alone should show us that God's not bound by the circumstances or where he is at, you know, physically. But God himself he's omnipresent anywhere and everywhere he needs to be. So you're not going to take up or make God neglect anybody by petitioning him, you know. He tells us in all things, in prayer and supplication, you know, in all things, prayer and petition. We petition God. You know, but at the same time, we thank God for what he has already done. If you go to chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 6 here. And so in verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And this is such a significant verse. When we talk about the way that we walk and we talk in Jesus. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you all receive Jesus? By faith, okay? How are we saved?
By accepting your heart.
Okay, so by believing on Christ. By believing on Jesus, we're saved. You know, when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, can't talk tonight, but on our mouth, we shall be saved, right? Okay, so that's how we received Christ, right? That's how we got Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So how are you going to receive every other promise of God? Right. But what do we have to do? We had to believe in our heart, right? What else did we have to do? Confess with our mouth, okay? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, not only that Jesus Christ is our Lord, but that's how we received him. So that is how we should walk in him. That is our daily walk in him, should be doing the same things. And as it goes on in verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You see, never lose the significance of the promises of God. Never lose the significance of your salvation. Because when you lose it, when you lose your thankfulness for it, it starts to lose its importance to you, and you start neglecting it. Never lose focus. And that's why he says, you know, I'm going to run it. I'm going to run that race with endurance. I'm going to run it as somebody that wants to win the prize, not somebody that thinks, I guess it's just not possible that I get it, you know? It's somebody that wants to win the prize, somebody that wants to get the prize at the end. And so that's why the Apostle Paul wrote that to us, so that we would know that we have to focus on a goal and we have to push and walk in that goal. We have to go for that goal. We have to continue to go on. But as it says here, it says abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding is a very easy term for all of us to understand, but I mean, you think about abundance. It's when you have more than you need, right? Abundance is more than you need. So abounding in it with thanksgiving. Your life should just be bubbling over with thanksgiving. It should be bubbling over with thanksgiving, not only of God, but thanksgiving for what he has given you, whether it be your family, your job, you know, the water that you drink, the house, the roof over your head, whatever the case might be. We need to be a thankful people. And it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Verse 8 right here is exactly what's going on in probably 80 to 90% of the churches. And no, I don't have a scientific poll to back that up with me tonight. But I guarantee you, if you went to majority of churches, if you weren't feeling well and you went up front and said, I want you guys to lay, anoint me with oil and offer up the prayer of faith. I need to be healed. They would probably tell you, well, we can't guarantee that that's going to happen. Or they'll say, well, that's not for us today. Yeah, God can heal. But, and then they start going on with that. The empty deceit of men is ritual, religion, has it all stamped all over it, trying to rob people of the promises of God. You know, they try to rob people of the promises of God. How, I don't understand how people conceive that God is say that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and tell you that he healed at one point and completely wiped out sickness when he was in the presence, and then now just neglects it and says, well, you guys have to deal with it. Or how in the world that he gave his Holy Spirit to his disciples on the day of Pentecost, but somehow after a couple thousand years, or after a couple hundred years, he withdrew that presence so that it never exists anymore. You know, I don't see how people wrap their theology around that, but my guess is they probably pull a few pages out of their Bible so that they don't see it anymore, and maybe that makes them feel a little bit better. But if you start actually embracing the full truth of God, he wants you well, he wants you healed, he wants you bubbling over in thanksgiving, he wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, he wants to do every single one of those things that he did with his disciples. And in addition to that, he wants you to go out and do the same things that he did. Okay? He wants you to do the same things that he did, which means that not only will you be thankful, but you will go out and you will see other people be thankful by the time that you're done with them, because you're going to tell them how great of a God you have and how great of a man he is. I mean, for Pete's sake, if there is nothing else, every single one of us should have told somebody this week about the miracle that happened with Rex Hutton. Every single one of us. Because that is a miracle, and that's what people want. People want healing. People want restoration. Some people might say, well, that was just a medical fluke. Well, it was like I was talking to a girl at work today, telling her about, because she had asked because she knew on Wednesday night and on Thursday we usually pray and have, you know, her neighbor, I guess, is from what she described was like a model of health, you know, ran marathons, all these types of things, and was just always just very healthy. I mean, just seemed like a like a very healthy woman. Well, the other day she was typing and her right hand wasn't keeping up with her left hand. And so they're like, well, that's kind of weird. And so they went to the doctor, had it checked out on her, we think that it was the left frontal lobe or whatever, had a big cancerous tumor on. And she said something about, she was like, well, you guys pray for people you don't know. And I'm like, we'll pray for anybody and everybody you want us to pray for. And she told me about that. And then I said, the unfortunate part is that some people run across and they only seek prayer during the bad times. I said, but let me tell you about this guy that we had in our church. You know, I told her about Rex. I told her about Bob. Throat cancer, right? Not anymore, right? Amen. See, there are things that have happened to people even in your own congregation that would simply amaze other people, because they're probably thinking throat cancer, oh my goodness, that's horrible. Not anymore. Bob didn't have it anymore. Amen. God healed him of that. Just like God healed Rex and restored his heart to where they can't even tell that there was a heart attack, however long ago it was. You know, those are the types of things that people, you know, and I don't say this in a mean condemning way, but those are the types of things that not only should we tell other people, but we should be flipping excited about it.
Amen.
I mean, when things like that happen, there should be news everywhere telling people about that. You know? And it's just like, and I posted a link on our Facebook account because I was listening today, earlier this week. I'm just so glad. And I'll tell you, for the longest time, I never listened to Andrew Womack. I never wanted to read any of his stuff because a long time ago, my mom had said something about how, I think it was him that she had said, if you raise a child the way that should go, they will not depart from it. And well, sometimes things like that, when you're a parent, if you don't see your kids in church all the time, you start condemning yourself. And so, and in my mind, I was like, I know that's not what the scripture, the scripture is not meant to condemn somebody to make them say that they're a failure or anything like that, because that's completely not the message of grace. I mean, that is completely not the message of salvation. But I was like, I just don't want to worry about that. I don't want to even listen to it. Well, I started listening after I'd read a book or two of his, and this week, the stuff is all about divine healing. And I tell you, I know it'll probably take 45 minutes or so because it's three different segments, but if you have time, you can go to our church website, click on the link that goes to Andrew Womack Ministries, and go to the TV shows for this week and listen to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It talks about a girl that she, for years, was just in pain and in agony every single day of her life. She couldn't get dressed. She couldn't go to the bathroom by herself. I mean, everything was just... And the thing was, that was so cool about it, was that listening to the family talk about how they knew that God was going to heal her. They're like, we know God's going to heal her. And then when she was sitting there thinking about God healing her, and she was talking to God, and she goes, Jesus told me. She's like, it's going to be a progressive miracle. And then years down the road, I mean, her brother even, tried to avoid seeing his sister because they were twins, and he had to literally feed her because she couldn't even lift anything. I mean, she couldn't do anything to help herself. She was basically laying in bed all day long. And well, Andrew Womack came to one of their church services, and the mom was like, I really want to go. Call me if you need anything, because obviously, her dad was there, but she didn't, the mom wanted to make sure that she was there if her daughter needed to go to the bathroom or anything like that. And so she was gone. She went to the meeting, and then they got in the prayer line, and she was just sitting there because she was like, after so many times, after a really long period with a disease like that, people get kind of nervous about having more people lay hands on them because they don't want it to, get your hopes up. You don't want to do all this kind of thing. And so she just watched Andrew, and he just, got up there, and there's a little girl that came up front. She was just watching him, and he just asked her, is there pain? Do you feel pain in your body? And this little girl was like, yeah, my head's hurting. And he goes, well, would you know if it left you? And she goes, yes, I'd know if it left. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to see that pain go away. And he just prayed for her and, just said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that pain. I command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Just a short, simple prayer. And he looked at that little girl, and he was like, is the pain still there? And she goes, no, it's all better. He just gave him a hug and then ran down. And so, and that spoke to that mom. And the mom really wanted to have him come over. And so she, it was the fact that she had talked to him and asked him. He said, yeah, he'd come over. Well, that next day, he went over to their house, prayed for this lady that had been in pain for years and years and years, and just rebuked the pain. I mean, I did the same thing as the little girl, and she just, started twitching a little bit. She started to sit up, but she had pain shooting through her neck, and he goes, oh, don't worry about that. I mean, without her even saying anything, he goes, oh, don't worry about that. Satan's just a pain in the neck. And, and leaned over, prayed for her about the pain in her neck. And the girl was standing up, walking around the room pain-free, didn't have to take any medicines from that day forward. I mean, just a true testament of how wonderful God is, and how, because when he was teaching, one thing that caught their eye and their, or caught their ear, was the fact that he goes, progressive miracles are not the best God has for you. It's not the, not necessarily the will of God. Because he was saying, God says you are to be well. You know, not this getting well or whatever. And she was saying, you know, I started praying about that. She goes, well, he says that, you know, progressive miracles aren't necessarily your will. And she goes, felt that God really just spoke right back to me and said, according to your faith, that's what I was going to do. You know, and it's one of those things that God, because that's getting ourselves from the concept of it's something that God is going to do versus something that he has already done. Because if he's already done it, and if he's already atoned for all of our sickness, disease, and sins, and sickness, everything, if he's already atoned for it, there's no reason why we have to go through a process of getting it. You know what I mean? It can be immediate. It can be just that. And it's just the fact that sometimes we don't get convinced of it ourselves enough in the Word of God. We're not thankful enough that we're like, man, God has done so much for me. Let me find out what else there is to it. You know, it's one of those things where we have to have that thankfulness in our heart. All right, let's go on here. In verse 8, let's target again. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So if we're complete in Christ, and Christ is the head of all principality and power, is there anything that has the right to exercise authority over you? May I say it again? Is there anything that has the right to exercise power or authority over you if you're in Christ? Yes or no?
No.
All right, I wanted to hear a no coming out of everybody tonight, because that, I mean, but that's just, it's just another example. It's kind of like, you know, when you see that, when you hear stuff like that, you should be like, no, there is absolutely no power whatsoever that anybody or anything should have over me. Satan doesn't have any power over you whatsoever that you don't give him. Okay? Understand that as the fact that the only reason why Satan has any power over any one of us is because we give it to him. We enable him by not living the life that God has chosen for us to live. By not getting into the Word and being just embraced and being built up in our faith, we are built up in the world, which allows Satan to have so much access to our lives. Let's turn over to chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. And it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We must forgive other people. You know, there's a movie called Pay It Forward, I believe is what it was called, where it was, you know, just talking about how when somebody does something good for you, you do something good for somebody else, and they'll, and, you know, it just keeps going on. And I know there was a commercial that kind of did the same thing, you know, we're talking about people doing the right thing, you know, helping people out, holding the door for somebody, whatever the case might be. But it was like after that person had something nice done for them, they showed them later on doing something nice for somebody else, you know, and just that type of an atmosphere to encourage other people. But this is what we're supposed to do. It says, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Christ chose to forgive us. He went to the cross in order to forgive us and completely wipe away all of our sin. So we must also do that for other people. And I'll tell you, there's no human that has the ability to do that. And that's why it takes the grace and the power of God walking and working through us in order for that to happen. You know, it's not easy, I'll guarantee that. But I tell you, I know for myself included, is the fact that I have started to, and it's like one thing that I have mentioned to other people before, I find it odd how I'll have more patience sometimes for complete strangers than I do for my own family, which is completely and utterly wrong. I mean, and I'll blatantly admit it, because I know that myself, there are some times where I'll just get irritated with something, and just because I see that person every day or every other day, I get more irritated with them and I have less patience for them than I do for a complete stranger. And you know, and that's one of those things where it's just kind of like, why is that? Number one, and it's because I'm letting the flesh live out in what I'm doing rather than letting God live through me. I'm thinking to myself, I have a right to be annoyed about something. But here, it tells us, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This isn't a question, and this isn't a request. It is a command that God has given us. And in verse 14, it says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, this section of Scripture in Colossians 3, my heading says, character of the new man. We ought to start reading Scriptures like this and understand what we're supposed to be in Christ. We need to start putting on love as a covering of our own lives, knowing and being thankful. Because when you're thankful for what God has given you, you'll be willing to give it out to other people. And then in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, in all things, sorry, I'll read verse 17. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and or God the Father through him. Give thanks for in everything that you do. Be thankful in everything that you do. And the one thing that's cool about this is that a thankful heart, from like verse 15 where it says, and be thankful, then you look into verse 16, a thankful heart brings out praise. You know, when you're thankful to God, you won't have any problem praising him. But in verse 17, like I said before, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Once again, it brings us back to that question, you know, when was the last time that you drank a cup of water to the glory of God? When was the last time that you did dishes to the glory of God? When was the last time you took out the garbage to the glory of God? And I know sometimes it seems, you'll be like, well, that's just kind of weird. How am I glorifying God doing this? By being a good steward of what God has given you. You will be thankful and you will glorify him in whatever you do. If he has given you a home, take care of it. If he has given you kids, take care of them. You know, that's what God is. If he has given us things, we need to take care of them. We need to be appropriate in our use of them. And let's go on here, just one last verse. Excuse me. Actually, no, we won't go into any more verses. I think that last one right there, I'm just going to read it again because I just really enjoy that verse because I know that I've got to remind myself of it at the same time. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When I was wrapping up thinking about this message tonight, I just so happened to look at the, when you're a part of the organization with FCF, we get these little emails that are called mentor packs, and they have little things that are, you know, little messages from, you know, the president, from the vice, I mean, from all the different leadership. And one of the things that Pat Harrison, the president, had said was she had used a quote from a man named Andrew Murray. And it says, have you ever thought what a wonderful privilege it is that everyone, each day and each hour of the day, has the liberty of asking God to meet him in the inner chamber and to hear what he has to say. So I want you guys to think about that. Have you ever thought about it that way, is the fact that every waking moment of the day, we have the option, the opportunity, and not only the opportunity, but the privilege of talking to God and having him meet us in his inner chamber. We have the opportunity to thank him and just love him. But what a tremendous, tremendous promise and privilege that is to know that you can just talk to the creator of the universe. You don't even have to say or request anything, but just talk to him. You know? Sometimes we neglect to do that. And you know, and I know that sometimes when I want to do as much as I can to, I want to thank people as much as I possibly can in this life, because everybody that is in your life has done something that's impacted your life, you know? And the fact is that we need to be a thankful people. And when somebody does something, tell them. Be appreciative of what you've got. Be appreciative of the people in your life. And be appreciative of what, most importantly, what Jesus has done for you. Because when we appreciate things, when we appreciate people, we tend to not take advantage of them. We tend to love them. We tend to have more patience with them. You know, we treat them kinder than we would before. I mean, it's one of those things, when you're thankful about something, there will never be a lack of good things you can say about them. So when you're really appreciative of God, there will never be a lack in your mouth, in your spirit, in your heart. When somebody asks, why do you serve God? There will never be a lack in your heart if you're appreciative of what he has done, because you will be like, you know, I can take you over here to Psalm 103 and just tell you exactly why I'm appreciative of God. You know, he forgave me all of my sin. He healed me of all of my diseases. You know, he did every single one of those things. So that's the gist of what I wanted you guys to understand tonight, is that I really think that all of us can do a better job of living a thankful life. Not only a thankful life, but just embracing and loving one another. So if you guys just want to join hands and stand up with the person next to you, we'll go ahead and we'll pray to end the message, and then we'll come up and we'll have prayer tonight. And we'll pray for every need that needs to be met here tonight. Father, we just thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you for everything, each and everything that you have done. And just like I had mentioned from Psalm 103, we thank you, Lord, that you have completely wiped away all of our sin, all of our iniquities. Not only that, Father, but we thank you for the physical manifestation of your healing power. We thank you that you have done everything that you have needed to do in order to provide healing for us today. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you also for the individual, Father. I thank you for the individual that I learned about this morning, Father, that had a cancerous tumor on their brain. Father, I command that tumor right now in the name of Jesus to shrivel up and die. I thank you, Lord, that it will just be completely gone in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that, because I know that by the power and by the stripes that were upon your back, I thank you that your word says that we have been healed and we have been transformed and redeemed, Father. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, and I thank you, Lord, that your healing power is here. I thank you that you are our healer. You are our provider, and I just thank you, Lord, for delivering us and manifesting your will among us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.